you very much, Dizzy Gillespie, and this is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, welcoming you to another Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock, and an action-packed show full of talk about poetry, technology, and the future of meetings without airplanes. I've got three great guests this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. The first will be Larry Dorey, a 25-year executive in the high-tech industry. He's the CEO of RUB, R-H-U-B. My listeners, you all, will be interested in how the different products that he and his company have been working on will allow us to realize the future now. Then I've got a poet, Frank Sherlock, who will help us out in the third half of the program. He's going to tell us about some of the work he's doing in Philadelphia on behalf of poetry and enlivening the poetry scene. Right in the middle of the show, we'll be joined by our old friend Bill Kendrick. He is the president of the Linux Users Group of Davis. Boy, what a great show I've got in store for you. I hope you'll stick around for the entire thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and I'll be your host this afternoon for a show packed full of interesting talk about technology, about the Linux Users Group of Davis, and then, towards the end of the hour, a conversation with Frank Sherlock, one of Philadelphia's most dynamic poets. First, I'd like to introduce you all to Larry Dorey. Larry Dorey is an experienced sales executive and general manager with an outstanding track record in growing businesses and developing high-performance teams. He has over 25 years of strategic marketing experience in the hardware and software high-tech industry, recently focusing on web conferencing and collaboration, as well as supply chain, product content, and factory automation applications. Larry Dorey is here to talk a little bit this afternoon about some of the work that his company has done in an emerging field, and that is teleconferences of all sorts. Increasingly, with the hassles of delays at the airport and the expense of travel, more and more companies and individuals are turning to other means to approximate the face-to-face meeting. Well, Larry Dorey is here to help us contextualize that process and those concerns. And I'm very pleased that he could join us here. Larry Dorey, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Andy.
Before we get started, could you tell me a little bit about your company? And I'd like to hear about some of the problems and concerns that you address.
Sure. RHUB Communications is a company that provides a collaboration solution for on-premise applications. By that I mean not necessarily hosted, as a lot of other companies offer it, but also where you can actually install it on your own network and you can brand it, integrate it into other systems, and also make your meetings more secure, which is becoming a bigger problem as we go forward with Internet issues, for example, as you heard from Google about China today.
Absolutely. And so, I just wanted to contextualize for folks listening at home. There have been concerns with, and you know this better than I do, Larry, so jump in at any point, but that Google, if I remember correctly, has a number of servers in China, and there have been concerns that have been revealed in the last 24 hours about especially the Gmail addresses of certain human rights activists in China being hacked, and therefore additional concerns about trying to keep secure information that's traveling fast on routers and stored on servers.
Precisely. When it comes to collaboration, what we focus on are not just organizations that are concerned about security. We do have customers in the national labs and in the aerospace market as well,
right,
but also financial institutions. You should not be sharing, you know, key financial information in a way that could be compromised, human resources information, engineering information. It ever surprises me that companies will do code development in India and have meetings with their teams over the web in unsecured environments where people could just be looking at source code if they wanted to, for example. So all these issues are becoming more and more prevalent. And as the kind of thing we just talked about relative to China brings it to light, people start to understand that one of the things you've lost from that face-to-face meeting is the ability to really know who's in your meeting, who's looking over your shoulder, and who's sharing the information with you.
Absolutely.
So that's part of the value that we bring to the party. And the other part that I mentioned before is integration, which I think is extremely important going forward. And that's the ability to have all your collaboration tools work together so that the user has a very smooth experience in moving from one to the other or incorporating one with the other.
And I think that's very important because in my field of education and also communications, I'm very concerned about what is it that we lose when we move from an unmediated face-to-face environment to a mediated face-to-face environment. A lot of people in the humanities don't spend a lot of time thinking about security concerns, but we do think about the extent to which we can easily collaborate with others in our field or our profession. So tell me a little bit more about what new opportunities are available for those who want to approximate the face-to-face meeting or a board meeting of some sort when people are spread out across the country or across the globe.
I think some of these things I'm going to talk about have been available at the enterprise level for some time. And one of the things we're actually seeing several things. One is that the capabilities are moving down in cost so they can be used by a wider variety of companies, but also that there's a strong effort to integrate them so that they become a more complete environment. So we've had audio conferencing for a long, long time, and everybody's very familiar with the phone, and that's an instrument that we have to incorporate in our collaboration efforts. But web conferencing, which is sharing screen data, is very important for meetings where the people that are involved in the meeting are working on computer-based information,
right,
and they want to be able to see that information together and share it together. And then there's the human part, the video conferencing, where I may want to have an idea of what you look like just to make myself feel better. I mean, one of the things we lose when we do these web meetings, we lose that personal interaction, and video conferencing can bring you at least an idea of who you're working with. It doesn't completely solve the body language issues and things of that nature, but at least you feel more comfortable that you have an idea who you're working with. So you have video conferencing, web conferencing, audio conferencing. And then on top of that, a key component is presence. Are these people online at the same time I am? Can I connect with them right now?
Right.
So those are the four, I think, major components to it. And what's happening is those are becoming integrated, and they're becoming lower cost and deployed by smaller companies.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Larry Dorey. He's a 25-year executive in the high-tech industry. And you earned your MBA at CSU Hayward?
Yeah, well, it was Hayward when I was there. Now it's East Bay or something.
Bay.
They change the name every couple of years.
That's right. I think they wanted to make the name of the university a little sexier than Hayward and remind everyone that it's in the Bay Area. Good. So I'm wondering, in terms of your own work, can you give me an example of an experience that you had with a meeting with a client or a colleague where the sort of technology that you're talking about allowed for a more seamless interaction and sharing of information?
It happens every day. We have a lot of let me back up a moment by
sure.
saying there are really two components, two categories for collaboration today, where we call asynchronous and synchronous. Asynchronous being wiki-based or environments where you can post information, you can pull information at will. And that works really well when you have teams that are across time zones and it's difficult to get together. Synchronous collaboration is when you're all together or you know that you can get together at the same time. So we're having a meeting with one of our partners today that provides asynchronous collaboration. And there was a product roadmap we wanted to go through because it's really important to them to know what we're going to be doing in the near future. And that's available as a spreadsheet. Well, it's computer-based. It's a lot easier for all of us to take a look at that spreadsheet, comment on it if we're in a web conference. And so the meeting started as an audio conference. 10 minutes into it, we opened up a web conference so we could share that roadmap information in a way that allowed everybody to interact, question, augment it, comment on it, et cetera.
Excellent.
I think that's and we do that almost every day.
So let me ask you about a product that's been in the news a lot in the last couple months, and that is Google Wave. I have a Google Wave account. I imagine that you do too. And I'm wondering if what your thoughts are about Google Wave and if you see Google Wave as a competitor to the sort of work you do or as a complement to that offered by R-Hub.
I think it's both. And let me start the conversation by saying that in my experience, a lot of what comes out of Google is a direct result of the way Google does business. And I really preface that by saying that Google has their own way to build product and to collaborate as a group.
Right.
And in particular, they like what I call the interactive wiki, where people can be on a wiki site together, and instead of being asynchronous, like most wiki implementations are, they want theirs to be synchronous as well. It can be both asynchronous and synchronous. I found that in general, those tools work very well for a particular mindset at a particular time, but they're not holistic. They don't solve all the problems all the time. And so that's why I say it's both competitive and complementary. There'll be times when you prefer to do it that way. There'll be times when you just can't do it that way and you want to use tools like we have.
That makes a lot of sense. We're chatting this afternoon with Larry Dorey. And Larry, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball for a minute. We're getting a sense of some of the great tools that are available now through teleconferencing and through the sharing of not only information via the Internet, but kind of a synchronous, shared, web-mediated experience. Where do you see us going in, say, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Some people have wondered, for instance, if we might be meeting holographically, as has been seen in, say, science fiction films for a number of years.
I'd like that very much. I think that would be – well, I think in general you can say that what really happens is that the high-end, very expensive – applications that are to have a high value, but only if you can afford them, always drive down in cost and therefore become available to more people. You know, basically, even audio conferencing 20 years ago was very expensive, and now, you know, you can Skype with four people for practically free.
Right.
So if you look at what's at the high end now, the telepresence kind of video conferencing, that will become more commonplace. As a matter of fact, we heard John Chambers just last week say his goal is to drive video conferencing into the home for the consumer. But one of the things that I think is even more important is a step back from a social standpoint, looking at the way the enterprise is organized today and where it's going. And one of the things I think is interesting is that you do not get the social interaction in a dispersed organization as you used to in the centralized organization of 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
And that's giving the emergence to social networking, which then I think is going to incorporate itself back into collaboration. So there's going to be a social networking component to it as well, and that's going to drive even harder in the enterprise or small companies going forward. So that's one component to it. The other is the devices. I think you're going to be mobile. And we talk about presence now because it's important to know if somebody can be reached by if they're at their desk, so you can reach them by phone, or if they're at their computer. But that's going to go away because you're going to be always present.
Right. And for good or for ill.
Right.
So we're really moving close to, the cell phone, which with smartphones has now become, say, an entertainment center, both interactively and with music and video, that it's only a matter of time before it becomes a more full-fledged communication system, both for personal interactions and then for group and business interactions as well.
Absolutely. We're taking steps in that direction now, and we have plans to do more in the very near future. This year we'll be doing more. You can join a meeting on your iPhone today. That's pretty easy to do. You need the kind of service where the audio can be on a separate channel from the data like AT&T has. But if you do it that way, you can join a web conference on an iPhone. But we'll see more of that, because what I think you're seeing is when you do have to travel, and, of course, we all know that that's becoming harder all the time, you're not going to lug that 6-pound laptop with you anymore. You're not going to put up with all the monkey business to get it through security and whatever else have you.
Right.
If you can manage the trip with your smartphone, you're going to do that. And as a result, that smartphone has to do more for you.
Excellent. Well, if we wanted to find out more about you and your company, what's the website that we would visit?
www.rhubcom.com, rhubcom.com.
All right, rhubcom.com. Great. Well, I've really enjoyed our chat, Larry Dorey, about the present and the future of teleconferencing for fun and business. I wish you good luck, and thanks very much for appearing today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
My pleasure, and thank you.
Certainly. Well, folks, stick around, because Bill Kendrick is in the studio. Before you know it, we're going to start chatting about the Linux Users Group of Davis. They're doing great things, as always, and they've got a big anniversary coming up. So stick around for that, for poetry, for jazz, everything that you've come to expect on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, reminding you that you can catch public affairs programs on KDVS 10 times a week, Monday through Friday, either from 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning or from 5 until 6 in the afternoon. We might call it evening in the wintertime. You can hear great shows with titles such as It's About You, This Week in Science, Speaking in Tongues, and Radio Parallax. If you want to find out more about the public affairs programs and their scintillating hosts, point your browser at kdvs.org. Switching gears now and getting local, very local, I'd like to reintroduce you all to an old friend of this program, Bill Kendrick. Bill is the president of the Linux Users Group of Davis, which is celebrating its 11th anniversary coming up. He and his Lugod friends have planned parties, festivities, perhaps balloons and cake. I don't know. I'm making this up. But either way, he's going to tell us all about it. He's here in the studio. Bill Kendrick, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is the Linux Users Group of Davis?
Oh, I knew you'd ask that. Linux, for those of you who don't know, is a completely free open source operating system for a number of different computing platforms, including my handy dandy little Android phone I've got right here, my Roku Netflix player at home, and our laptops and everything in between. It runs Google. I've lost track. They've got robots that use Linux. They've got everything using Linux these days. But yeah, our club is dedicated to everything about Linux and free and open source software and anything kind of related to that, Java programming, bioinformatics, crazy math programming, all sorts of stuff. So,
excellent. And so when the people of Lugod meet, what do you all do?
Well, we actually have two different things we do every month on a regular schedule now. On the first Tuesday of each month, we have a little social gathering. It's usually at Crateful Restaurant in downtown Davis, and we hang out in the evening, and some people bring their netbooks and other devices and whoop them out and start talking about stuff, and we just kind of hang out and chat and get to know each other. And then the other meeting we have each month on the third Monday of the month is a, we call it the general meeting. That's the formal one where we have a guest presenter come and talk about any varying topic. So that's what's coming up soon.
And the 11th anniversary, were you there at the inception of Lugod?
I was.
How about that? And I remember
Lamppost Pizza,
right,
over on Lake.
This radio show just celebrated its 9th anniversary, and I remember I had you all on the show in my first year. We talked about the work that you had done, some philanthropic work, donating books to the library, was it?
Yeah, probably. We've definitely done that. I don't remember exactly when it was compared to when you interviewed us. I remember vividly you asking us about the Segway. I don't think it had a name yet.
Right.
You're like, what do you think of this guy's secret thing? And we're like, we don't know what you're talking about, but okay. And then, of course,
right.
Now and everyone knows what it is.
Now everyone knows. But now all of a sudden it's become far less important. It's just kind of a toy, at least in most towns.
Yeah. Apparently, Steve Woz, one of the founders of Apple, uses it to play polo.
Oh, yeah.
They play Segway polo. He apparently hurt himself.
So it's rich people playing with rich people's toys.
I guess.
All right. Well,
I'll stick to a bike.
So will I. We're going to hear a public service announcement about the Linux Users Group of Davis, a familiar one to listeners of this show. We'll be back in just a little bit more with Bill Kendrick,
the president of Lugod, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or Lugod, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. Lugod meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit Lugod's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. More with Bill Kendrick in just a moment. First, I wanted to let you know that the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists urges wearers of latex gloves to learn about the potential health hazards of repeated exposure to products made of natural rubber latex. Allergies are common among healthcare professionals and can be severe. To learn more, visit www.anesthesiapatientsafety.com or call 1-847-692-7050. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. I'd like to remind all of you to stick around for my conversation with Frank Sherlock. He's an award-winning poet from Philadelphia. We're going to talk to him about his poetry advocacy work, his most recent publications, and hear a sample of his work. First, though, more with Bill Kendrick. So, Bill, we've got the 11th anniversary celebration of the Linux Users Group of Davis right around the corner. What is the precise date and time and place of that event, and what will happen?
All right. So that'll be this coming Monday, January 18th, from 7 to 9 p.m., and we're actually going to be meeting at the Veterans Memorial Center over near, I guess you'd say, the library, although it's under renovation right now, near the Davis High School as well, kind of in between those two.
Right.
First time for us meeting there, so it's going to be a little chaotic, I'm sure, for the first couple of minutes.
And is it because of the huge, huge crowd that you're expecting that you need that larger space?
Well, partly, and partly because our temporary venue can't even hold kind of a large crowd at this point. We had,
right.
We had about 24 people at a meeting recently, which is, you know, pretty low from what I'm used to from a few years back, and it was standing room only. They just didn't have enough chairs in the facility. We've been meeting at Explore It on 5th Street, not 2nd Street, 5th Street, in one of their kind of side buildings there while the library's getting worked on. So,
excellent. And what will happen at the meeting?
Well, some people from a company called LifeRay are going to come and talk about their products. They've got, let me see if I can read this here. LifeRay is a provider of leading portal and social collaboration products. So it's a open source portal that's actually being used by websites like Lufthansa Flight Training, Borland, the French Ministry of Defense, and they're also going to talk about their social office products. So they're kind of taking this whole Web 2.0 social thing that a lot of us waste our time on Facebook, for example, and creating products that people can actually utilize those workflows, I guess, within business. I don't know much beyond that, but I'm obviously going to learn on Monday.
It sounds intriguing. So LifeRay Portal and LifeRay Social Office at the 11th anniversary meeting at the Veterans Memorial Center. That's this coming Monday, the 18th. And what time will you all start?
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
We're going to buy some pizzas. We're going to see if we can get a cake. And we've got some books and possibly T-shirts and other giveaways and freebies. So
Do you have to be a member of LUGOD to show up to this meeting?
Nope. Free and open to the public.
Excellent.
As usual, always.
As always, free is an important word for you Linux guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Bill Kendrick, if we wanted to find out more about LUGOD, where should we go?
This is going to be mind-blowing.
Yeah.
LUGOD.org.
LUGOD.org.
And one thing I'm proud of, this is kind of unprecedented. We've actually booked up the entirety of 2010 with guest speakers. February, we've got Amazon. You've probably heard of them. They sell books.
I know
that. They also do a lot of other stuff. Let's see what other cool ones we got. We've got a local company that does microsystems and microcontrollers. They're coming in May to talk about their use of Linux. Myth TV is kind of a open source alternative to TiVo and other DVRs. That's going to be in June. One of our members is going to present that. We've got a presentation on IP version 6. What this means to people is we're not going to run out of addresses for computers.
Thank goodness.
And it's going to be a fellow from Hurricane Electric, a large ISP down in Fremont, that's going to come talk about that.
Now, speaking of running out of space, are you ever concerned that if you're booked all through 2010 that something momentous will be discovered, say, between now and August, and you want to make room for it in your schedule?
Well, we're not the only lug in town. There's actually a smaller group these days out in Sacramento, and there's plenty of other groups all over the Bay Area. So if somebody's really itching to talk about their mind-blowing topic, then they can probably find some other group than us to go speak at.
And do you feel like you're in competition with these other Linux users groups, or do you all collaborate and share information and strategy?
Kind of in between. I get kind of jealous sometimes, like, oh, wow, the group in San Francisco's got all these cool speakers coming. How do I get them? But at the same time, you know, I encourage people to look at the other groups to sign up to speak with them, and I, you know, make sure that people who aren't right in Davis know about the other groups that they can go to if they don't want to travel so far. But at the same time, we're not like all buddy buddies talking about it all the time. We're, you know, I'm on the mailing list for a lot of the other groups, but it's not like we're all really, really working together hard, because it's kind of hard enough to run your own group rather than, you know,
absolutely,
let alone work on everyone else's work at the same time. So
and really that collaborative spirit is a part of what you do. If you collaborate with too many people, you really get nothing done.
Totally.
Absolutely. All right. Bill Kendrick of the Linux Users Group of Davis, thanks very much for returning on this momentous occasion. We're here on the cusp of the 11th anniversary of the Linux Users Group of Davis.
See you there, everyone.
Thanks, Bill. Well, I hope all of you will stick around, because in just about 1 minute of music, we will be joined by Frank Sherlock. He's a poet on the live line from Philadelphia now. He'll be joining us on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
For children in hospitals who face days or even weeks of recovery time, homework does more than keep them up to date in school. It can provide a sense of normalcy and focus. While most of a child's stay involves physical recovery and healing, schoolwork can help boost mental health. It can remind children that their familiar daily routine still exists outside the hospital. At Shriners Hospitals, this type of continuous learning is either provided by teachers from local school districts or by teachers on staff at the hospital. Shriners Hospitals provide free orthopedic and burn treatment to children under 18. If you know a child Shriners can help, call 1-800-237-5055. Or visit www.shrinershq.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM Davis, heard throughout the Sacramento Valley. My next guest on the show this afternoon is Frank Sherlock. Frank Sherlock is the recipient of the 2009 CAC Sexiest Poem Award. He's the author of a good number of books, including Over Here from Factory School Press, 2009, and a collaboration with Brett Evans entitled Ready to Eat Individual from Lavender Inc., 2008. Other publications include Daybook of Perversities and Main Events from Sci-Gist Press, 2007, Wounds in an Imaginary Nature Show, Night Flag Books, 2007, and Spring Diet of Flowers at Night, Mooncalf Press, 2006. He is a co-founder of PACE, which stands for Poet Activist Community Extension, and a native Philadelphian. You can find out more about Frank Sherlock at franksherlock.blogspot.com or see what he's been doing with his friends at Philly Sound, PHILLY, the word sound.blogspot.com. I'm very pleased that he could join me. Frank Sherlock, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Andy. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. So, Frank Sherlock, tell us a little bit about your poetry advocacy work in Philadelphia. Are you originally a native Philadelphian?
Yeah, I grew up in a neighborhood southwest Philadelphia and have been here ever since. Been involved with the poetry community since the mid-90s. I became friends with C.A. Conrad, who we've recently collaborated with, and we have an upcoming book coming out called The City Real and Imagined. And as far as the advocacy work goes, I did a good bit of curatorial work in terms of reading series and putting together events like the Philly Sound, New Poetry Weekend with Tom Devaney, and more recently, as you mentioned, PACE, which is Poet Activist Community Extension, which started in 2004 as a way of addressing the urgency that a collection of us felt couldn't really be addressed through the mediated forums of universities and, you know, the typical reading series where we all felt like we were preaching to the choir and maybe insulating ourselves in the process.
Right. And so have you been successful in, let's say, growing markets for poetry?
Well, I can say we were successful and are successful whenever we engage in these things in terms of changing people's experience of poetry, because a lot of people have, you know, there's this David Anton joke where he says poetry is like gay marriage. Nobody knows what it really is.
Right.
And so people's idea of poetry is kind of a scary thing and maybe even a little bit of a precious thing. And through our PACE actions, we, you know, we try to break down that barrier.
Excellent.
Through just simply reading for people and giving them something to take home with and a way to get in touch with us at a later date.
I'm curious to know, with that in mind, and perhaps separate from any kind of academic training and mentorship, I'm wondering what sort of mentors in or out of the poetry world or other folks who have been working in the arts that you and your collaborators have turned to for inspiration, guidance, and maybe as trailblazers?
Well, I can speak for myself personally. I can say that I was definitely put in the direction I've gone in by way of punk rock.
Right.
And from punk rock to Greil Marcus's Lipstick Traces, which turned me on to the Situationists, and the revolution of everyday life, and then later people like Hakeem Bey, and the notion of temporary autonomous zones, and creating our own unmediated experiences.
Excellent. Can you think of, if you wanted to exemplify that, and especially, say, the punk rock sensibilities, was there a show or a movement or a musician who really turned you on to what could happen with kind of local, autonomous, independent cultural events?
Well, I'd have to say musically that The Clash was an early influence in my first concert. So, in terms of, and I would say in particular, Joe Strummer was a big influence in two ways. One with the music and his sort of, he wasn't afraid to get involved with, to speak politically on a very human level. And then I think later in his life, having a way of putting it all in a context that he later remained humble and in the end tried to be true to his beliefs. But I also say poetry-wise, the first poetry reading I ever went to was I saw Yevgeny Yevtushenko, and from what I had heard about him reading in Moscow Stadium or Santiago Stadium, I saw him at the University of Pennsylvania, and I showed up hours earlier because I thought it was going to be this stadium crowd,
right?
Which it was not. But at the same time, he came out, and this is the very early 90s, and he came out wearing a traditional Afghani outfit, and at that time, with the Soviet-Afghani war, that was seen as borderline treasonous. And he just walked through the crowd and he recited his work, and I felt like poetry really meant something to this guy. And I left that reading saying that I wanted to be a poet.
That's wonderful.
And then I went to my second poetry reading, and I said, what am I doing?
Right. You said, well, this is a little bit less inspiring.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break and hear a message. And when we return, I'd like to ask if there are poets that listeners that you would send listeners to, either in terms of their books or a live performance, to get kind of a sample, a taste of the sort of inspiration that you're speaking of as a poetry activist. And I'll just remind everyone that this afternoon on the live line from Philadelphia, we have Frank Sherlock. He is the recipient of the 2009 CAC Sexiest Poem Award and the author of a number of books of poetry. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. I'm chatting this afternoon with Frank Sherlock. His most recent book of poetry is called Over Here. It's from Factory School Press in 2009. And the San Francisco Bay Guardian has named it one of the Bay Guardian's top 10 sexiest books of 2009. I don't know why you wouldn't want to check that out. If you want to find out more, you can follow Frank Sherlock at franksherlock.blogspot.com. Now, Frank, we were chatting before the break about some poets and perhaps books or performances that have been important to you. A lot of people listen to this show who are just getting into the world of poetry. They're young, they're impressionable, and I thought that this would be a good time for you to have an impression upon them. What sort of books of poetry or literary heroes would you direct them to investigate?
Oh, I would have to say at this point for me that most of my influences and inspirations are coming from my colleagues who I've the good fortune of friendships with, people like C.A. Conrad, who has a way of engaging in the world politically, but without without the a lot of the stilted posturings that often come along with a lot of political poetry. And I would say also people like Carol Mirakov, the author of the book Mediated, for the very similar reasons. Jules Boykoff, Hegemonic Love Potion, which came out last year. And in terms of performances, I mean, I would just YouTube Saul Williams. I love a lot of his performances.
Absolutely. And I'd say that he's a poet on YouTube who gets a lot of hits, and rightly so, for people who would like to see a great poetic performance. Saul Williams, spelled as you'd expect, is a great place to start. Well, we've been talking about sexy poetry, Frank, and so I should take this moment to remind you that this is a live radio show, and there are certain words that you can't say on the air. But that being said, I'd love to hear a sample of your poetry, and I'm wondering if you have something there that you could share with listeners of KDBS.
Sure thing. This is a poem called "Don't Forget Me in the Dimension You Choose to Live." Beyond the wall and the mouth behind it, past the petrodollars and authentication ink is part lament, part absorption, part failure to stop hearing the hooves. The immediately lived lives have no hope of correction, accepting revisionist process. Too big for reason, too small for God. Sivilate me already, or at least let me backwander into liberation with a smile on my face. Tonight, all there is. Tonight, there's just us. This rat we bundle, scarred with holes from sparkle lotus and the scent memory of something that has burned. The systems must allow for proof of existing, or the systems will fail to exist. Too damn naked, despite the clothes on the coming-of-age hot date. This drink's for you in that white party dress, and me in this necktie. Here's to the first day of the rest of our isolations. The recollection vest is unbuttoned to be changed as often as we feel like. The flashbacks include everyone who has eaten at this table. There are familiar components in these machines. Over time, there's been an explanation of hardware, so this is a group, considered one and not one, untrammeled but not innocent at the celebratory disco. Fun is fun, but managers don't let employees top from the bottom in the workplace. Soon, we can roll blunts with all our dead founders. It begins a heresy and sometimes becomes heritage. The smoke, the battery of drums that spit out the dirty words that claim ourselves as citizens of the world. This, after all the failed attempts to keep us in our own mini weather patterns. I have it reported, love is over if you want it. All you need is war. Because of this raw video feed I sent from my chopper to yours. Manifest is longhand for man, but I prefer it as shorthand for festival. Good then. This is not the unsophisticated forest born and raised in the sticks. this desire in the time of civilization just before the shift. We can't go back and live the day we wanted to live before. But the rumors of statutes pledging basic rights to rivers and the trees are true, I tell you, true. Don't call me crazy. I know exactly how it sounds. Okay, nullifying can be sexy, but don't get carried away. Heterotopias that can mix up inhibitions. Through the distortions, you can hear the twisted propeller sounds calling Soma back. The expert practice of critique has always ran the risk of shortening other muscles into states of consternation. In the meantime, here comes the blood from the factory into the sacred lake. It'll stain out the presidents on the bills. We can replace them with landscape faces. The horse I ride inside my head is just barely slow enough. A Jolie figure silhouettes as the hooves draw close, but fades before arrival. Your name is traced in cable wire at the site of the controlled fire. A holy blanket rebuilt as a house remains to keep us warm. I've got a message for you written on the cash. It's not any one thing in general. It's everything in general. It translates to the technologies you knew when you were born.
Oh, that was wonderful, Frank. I like that very much. I could listen to that all afternoon. Remind me again the title of that piece.
And it's called Don't Forget Me in the Dimension You Choose to Live.
That's great. You spoke of isolation at the very top when distinguishing many academic poetry and academic poetry readings from something that would reach out to a broader public looking for entertainment as well as intrigue. And I think that poem does a good job of bridging that gap, but also of talking about that sort of isolation without oversimplifying. So I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
So the readings that you run, how do they usually work? Is it feature followed by an open mic, or do you have some introductory poets as you move up towards a feature? Is it all open mic? How do you usually set them up?
Oh, readings that... that I put on now are few and far between, but I ran a reading series, a Night Flag reading series, for 6 years. And our setup was, it originally started with a poet from New York, Greg Fuchs, and what we did is we set the readings up in such a way that we would have one poet from Philadelphia and one poet from another city, usually nearby, like New York or D.C.
Right.
Because we found that there were a lot of great poets in Philadelphia, but no one outside of Philadelphia knew who they were, and you know the same was going on with the D.C. scene, and you know we thought that Philadelphia had a unique geographical advantage of being in between New York and D.C. So we had we had poets that were willing to travel 2 to 3 hours to read for a whole new poetry community.
Excellent.
So that was our setup.
It's a great idea. Here in Davis, poetry readings draw from poets in Sacramento and the Bay Area, as well as travelers. People are on book tours or lucky enough to visit a friend. But as with Philadelphia, we've got a great number of homegrown poets and later this month, we'll actually be choosing the first Poet Laureate of Davis.
Oh, wow.
So it's there are great opportunities when you can have this kind of transubstantiation of ideas and currents from one city to the next. It also reminds people, in your case, people returning to New York and D.C., that there's a great poetry scene in Philadelphia, and remind them of the names of a few poets that they should keep their eyes open for.
Oh, sure. Like I said, C.A. Conrad, Patty McCarthy, Kevin Verone, Chris McCreary, Jen McCreary, Ryan Eckes. There's a whole host of folks here that are they're doing great things poetry-wise.
Excellent. Well, Frank Sherlock, I really appreciate you sharing some of your work and telling us about the scene there. Congratulations on all your successes and especially on the accolades that have been visited upon over here. Your most recent book. I'll remind folks that the San Francisco Bay Guardian chose it as one of the 10 sexiest books of 2009. Frank Sherlock, thanks so much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dr.
Absolutely.
Take care.
You are listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, and we are fast approaching the end of this program. I have some parting words about a reading that's happening a week from tonight, but first let's hear once more from the sponsor of this radio show, the YOLO Federal Credit Union.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the YOLO County Federal Credit Union. The YOLO County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Before I thank my guests, I'd like to announce from this poetry microphone that there will be a reading a week from tonight at Bistro 33. Bistro 33 runs a poetry series on first and third Wednesdays, and the feature next week will be Brett Eugene Ralph. Brett Eugene Ralph has a new book out called Black Sabbatical, published late last year by Saraband Books. And his work has appeared in many hip and substantive literary journals, as well as in the McSweeney's Book of Poets, Picking Poets, and The Stiffest of the Corpse, an exquisite corpse reader anthologies. He currently lives in Empire, Kentucky. He teaches at Hopkinsville Community College, and he rocks out with the country rock ensemble Brett Eugene Ralph's Kentucky Chrome Review. Doesn't that sound like fun? He is a really interesting character from what I can gather, and he'll be reading a week from tonight at Poetry Night at Bistro 33. Maybe I'll see if I can get him on the radio show. Well, before I tell you that DJ Springy is going to arrive with some time to get away, I'd like to thank the three guests who appeared on the radio show this afternoon. The first being Larry Dory, who is the CEO of RUB Communications. No, not RUB, RHUB, RHUBcom.com, RHUB Communications, at RHUBcom.com, talking to us about the future of teleconferencing. We also heard from Bill Kendrick, who invites all of you to an upcoming meeting of the Linux Users Group of Davis. That's this coming Monday night at 7 at the Veterans Memorial Theater in the city of Davis. Information to be had at lugod.org. And finally, I'd like to thank Frank Sherlock, who we just heard from. He's the author of a brand new book called Over Here and a great number of other books as well. A native Philadelphian, he co-founded Poet Activist Community Extension. You can find out more about the very eloquent and talented Frank Sherlock at franksherlock.blogspot.com. My name is Dr. Andy, and it's been a pleasure to share this hour with you. Stick around for great music, for DJ Springy is in the house, and he's got some time to get away from 6 until 8 p.m., and I'll be back next week, perhaps with Brett Eugene Ralph, and I hope with you, all of us working together to make this another great episode of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.